Welcome to the 11th edition of What Would You Do, NBA Offseason Edition. We will be discussing the Memphis Grizzlies. And for the Memphis Grizzlies, what a season they had last year. A lot of people did not have any high expectations for Memphis, especially when they went overhaul with their franchise players. We saw Marc Gasol getting traded about last year or 2 years ago to Toronto to help them win that championship in 2019. And the last domino to really fall was Mike Conley, who during that 2019-2020 offseason got traded to the Utah Jazz. Obviously, we discussed the Jazz earlier or in one of our earlier episodes, so make sure you guys check that out. But for the Memphis Grizzlies, it was a new era. It was, as a lot of people know, as the Ja Morant show. Ja Morant had probably one of the better rookie seasons we have ever seen. A lot of the hype in that 2019 draft class, it was all about Zion Williamson, nobody else. But when Memphis got the second pick in Ja Morant, everybody kind of knew that he was the future of Memphis. It wasn't Mike Conley anymore. The new franchise guy was Ja Morant. And it showed. The Memphis Grizzlies exceeded a lot of expectations. They went into the bubble as the 8th seed. Obviously, as we all know, they did not make it to the playoffs. They fell short to the Portland Trail Blazers in the bubble format. But as the Grizzlies, you have to look at that season as kind of a success, because nobody really thought before that 2019-2020 season that the Memphis Grizzlies would be battling for a playoff spot. A lot of people kind of thought Memphis was going to be one of those teams, you know, like they're going to be a bottom feeder and they're going to be competing for one of the top picks in the 2020 NBA draft. But they were not. They were competitive throughout the season. And Memphis has a bright future coming up. And I'll kind of direct you this question, Caleb. You look at the kind of season that Memphis had last year. Do you believe that Memphis fully exceeded their expectations, or do you think it's slightly disappointing to where they started off as the 8th seed and kind of fell out of the playoff picture?
I mean, I think they exceeded expectations from the jump of the season, honestly, because, I mean, I didn't expect them to be down there in the 8th seed with just Ja. Jaren played very well. I actually paid a lot more attention to Jaren, and he for some reason reminds me of an Anthony Davis type of young guy. It was really exciting seeing those two. They definitely click well. They're definitely two of those guys. Those are the guys I feel like can win a championship together. They have a chance to win a championship together. They just got to get a third guy. They got to get a third piece. Clarkie, Brooks, good role players. They definitely had a solid team. I mean, it sucks that they fell out, but, you know, when it comes to experience and Dame Dallas, I mean, he had to do what he had to do, and they simply did what they had to do. So, I mean, Memphis, can we see them fizzling out like that again? I don't think so. I think if they held the 8th spot again, I don't think they fizzle out like that next year.
You definitely make a lot of great points there. You made an interesting point of Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson potentially winning a championship. Where do you potentially rank those two players as in the NBA as a whole for dynamic duos? Do you believe they could potentially be a top 10 duo in the NBA, or are they not there yet? Kind of give them some time before they get into that top 10 mark.
Great question. I think they are a top 10 duo when healthy. This year we won't be able to see that just because the year starting so fast. It's the deal with TNT and all their contract deals is why the season is starting so fast, and they couldn't push it back any further. So I don't know if we'll see Jaren healthy for long enough to where they can really develop their chemistry. But I think when healthy next year and years to come, they'll be a top 10 duo, if not a top 5 duo, especially if Jaren can bring his game to the next level. And like if you've seen how he played last year, he definitely brought his game to the next level like from being a rookie year, good defensive player, getting buckets around the rim for guards that are setting him up. But I mean, he could shoot the three ball, play defense. He's long, get a bucket from mid range down into the paint. He's really good. I'm telling you, he's really good.
Yeah, he definitely is. I'd have to agree with you as well. I think you brought up that good point. That's kind of why I asked you the question, just because it was very impressive. I never really thought of them being potentially top 10, but when you labeled out the kind of stats that Jaren Jackson and John Morant can put up, I think they definitely have the capability to be that. You know, you make a lot of great points in saying, like, when healthy, that's the key, I think, with almost any duo. Like, when healthy, like, they could potentially be up there. Like this is, for example, that LeBron James-Anthony Davis duo, in my opinion, the best in the NBA. I mean, when they're healthy, they're almost unstoppable. John Morant and Jaren Jackson, they have a capability to be up there. Now,
and they're dogs. They're just at heart dogs. They have that same demeanor. They're not worried about none of that other shit. I don't see them ever being too flashy. They keep it cool. They're both in a small market. They both come from the small market hometown. They're dogs, bro. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I just had to let that be known. Mm-hmm. They're both dogs.
Yeah, and that definitely brings out the mindset. Whenever people have an underdog mentality, that could elevate you very far. And especially with how Memphis looks right now, they just barely missed the playoffs last year. If they have those couple dogs like Ja Morant, Jaren Jackson, if they could maybe add another piece during the season, they could further elevate their case on potentially making the playoffs and maybe even making a run. But Memphis definitely has a bright future coming forward to them. Maybe that Ja Morant, Jaren Jackson duo could be the next Mike Conley, Marc Gasol duo that a lot of Grizzlies fans saw in the mid 2000s, 2010s. So definitely going to be exciting to see. Let's talk about the draft pick that they had. Memphis Grizzlies, obviously they didn't really have a lot to draft. They would have had the 14th pick, but because they were in the lottery, that pick went to the Celtics. But with the 30th pick in the NBA draft, the Boston Celtics, they selected Desmond Bane, but traded him to the Memphis Grizzlies. So Desmond Bane is a shooting guard out of TCU, traded to Memphis. Caleb, you see Memphis trade for a guy like Desmond Bane. What are your thoughts on Desmond Bane being on the Memphis Grizzlies?
I think he could be a good piece if they give him the time to prove himself. He was a solid piece at TCU as far as like basically being like a 3-and-D guy, I think. From what I've seen, he can still get buckets in the mid-range. But I think he could be a solid point guard. I think he could be like somebody that you see how Jalen Brunson was for Dallas. I think he could be how he was for them in Memphis. They need that. They need a backup point guard that can control the pace of the game, still play good defense. And, I mean, one thing about him that I see, he fits into their system and their culture. So it wasn't a bad draft pick for where they were at. I don't think so. What do you think?
I personally think that this is a good trade from Memphis. I mean, you look at, they already went into this draft, not really a lot of draft capital. The only draft pick they had was the 40th pick, and then they traded that pick away. So being able to get a guy like Desmond Bane, a shooting guard out of TCU, who, I mean, they said a lot of great things about Desmond. They said a lot of great things about Desmond Bane, especially his size, him being a strong shooting guard. You know, very, very well active on the defense. I mean, you look at, they even said, you know, as a senior, averaging 16 points, 6.5 boards, and almost four assists a game. I mean, that in itself is an impressive feat. And if they can get those kind of numbers off the bench, I think Memphis will be in good hands. And even with his height, 6'6", 215, that's definitely going to be very, very lethal for the Memphis Grizzlies. And I think you make a great point, Caleb, on him kind of being like a Jalen Brunson in the Dallas Mavericks. He'll be a great guy to come off the bench for the Memphis Grizzlies to fill in for like Dylan Brooks. If Dylan Brooks gets into foul trouble or struggles, you can put in Desmond Bane, and you know he can help put out the fire. You know, I'm definitely excited to see what he's able to bring for Memphis. I mean, you look at even his career highlights at TCU. I mean, he was He was an all Big 12 first team selection. He made it. He was even a top 10 finalist for the Jerry West Shooting Guard of the Year, which just proves the show how great of a shooting guard Desmond really is. And, you know, it's exciting to see. I mean, the Memphis Grizzlies are going to be an exciting team to watch this season and many years to come, just because of the fact that they have a lot of young talent, guys like John Morant, Jaren Jackson, even key bench pieces like Brandon Clark. You know, that's going to be super exciting to watch and to see.
Yeah.
And just really see what they're really all about. And, you know, it's going to be exciting to see what Memphis can bring to the table, which then brings me my next question, Caleb. Where do you think the Memphis Grizzlies finish this upcoming 2020-2021 season? Do you believe that the Memphis Grizzlies can get over the hump and make it to the playoffs? Or do you think they'll fall, a little short of making the playoffs? Or can they possibly be a sleeper team in the Western Conference and make a deep run in the playoffs?
Man, for those of you who catch me talking about this on Hoops USN, I was just talking about how Memphis, you know, they're a team that could be in a lot of people's top 10. And if you guys go back and check that content out, they are in some people's top 10. Memphis, I spoke very well of them. I think they're a good team. I really do. But this year, the West is just so deep. I don't have them making the playoffs. I haven't been anything from a 8 to a 10 seed, maybe even out of the top 10, 11 and 12, just because Jaren Jackson won't be healthy to start the season. They may still jump off to a good start and get a 7-8 seed. I wouldn't be surprised. I just don't know if they're playoff ready this year without Jaren Jackson being healthy. So I'm going to take him out of my top 10. I don't think they finish in the playoffs this year. I pose that same question to you. Like, do you think they finish in the playoffs this year? They didn't do too much this offseason. Like, I don't know if they put themselves in position to finish in the playoffs this year, especially after already giving away Jay Crowder.
Yeah, that's going to be a little tough to think. I think, I mean, as much as I want to pull for Memphis to make it to the playoffs, I just have to agree with you as well. I think they fall a little short. Yeah. They're right there, but the Western Conference is just such a strong conference. I mean, here's what I will say. If Memphis was in the East, I'd have no problem with them making the playoffs. I think if the Memphis Grizzlies were in the Eastern Conference, they'd be able to make the playoffs with ease. But because they're in such a tight conference in the Western Conference, I think they're going to fall just a tad bit short. And especially like you mentioned with the Jaren Jackson injury, that's going to be huge. And in the Western Conference, every game counts. I mean, even though the season is shortened to 72 games, it's going to mean a lot more because you can't really afford, you know, any kind of losing streak for that matter, because that could, you know, either make or break, you know, how you shape up in the regular season, especially in the Western Conference. Like, how many times have we seen to where a Western Conference team is red hot coming down towards the stretch of the season, but they have a baby skid, 3 or 4 game skid, and they go from the fifth or sixth seed, and just like that, they're out of the playoffs. I mean, Memphis is one of those teams where they're right there. If they can catch a hot streak, I think they can get in. But without a hot streak, I think they fall just a little bit short of making the playoffs. I do want to close this out. There were some other moves that they made besides Desmond Bane. They also drafted Xavier Tillman with the 35th pick. They then got undrafted free agents Sean McDermott, Killian Tilly, and they traded for Mario Hezonja. Caleb, with those moves made by Memphis besides Desmond Bane, does that kind of change your thought on Memphis as a team, or are they still one of those teams to where they're right there, but just a little short?
Yeah, man, those moves don't do too much. Not to down those players, they don't do too much. They're really good role players. but I don't think they do too much. I think they're still stuck, and they're just, it's not enough to get them over that hump. Those moves are not enough.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you as well. I think those moves are just a little bit short from Memphis. I will say, I thought Memphis was going to be a playoff team in the next 3 to 5 years, but with how John Morant and that duo is playing, I think it's short. I think we can see make the playoffs in 2 years.
Oh, I mean, next season, definitely. If not this season, next season for sure.
Yeah, that's definitely going to be an exciting thing to see about Memphis, how John Morant carries on from year one to year two. Can he maintain that same success? Because we've seen a lot of rookies to where they have a fantastic rookie year, but they can't follow it up. Can John Morant follow it up? Yeah. We'll have to find out and see. I truly believe he will. I think he's a special talent. You know, I think he's kind of shown himself to be that leader of the franchise. And I think Memphis, they're going to just miss the playoffs barely, but they're going to be an exciting team to watch. And for all you Memphis Grizzly fans out there that tuned into this episode, you'll definitely be excited with what the Memphis Grizzlies has to offer and to bring to the table in the Western Conference. And with that will conclude the 11th edition of What Would You Do? NBA Offseason Edition. We appreciate you guys tuning in, listening to this episode, whether you listen to it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or iHeartRadio. We thank you guys for listening. Caleb, do you have any final words to the listeners out there?
Ah, man. Thank you guys for listening, tuning in with us. Thank you guys for supporting. Again, you can find me on Instagram at CalebConant1. You can find me on Twitter at CalebConant2. You can find me here at the MCS World Sports Podcast. And you can find me at Jewels and Gems Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all that. Find me at Jewels and Gems. That's a podcast with my dad and I. So, you know, I'm everywhere, baby.
Yeah, we definitely are available everywhere. My Twitter is at @Matt_Skura, Instagram at @Matt_Skura19. Make sure you guys check out this podcast, whether you have it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, you name it. Like Caleb said, we're available everywhere. So we thank you for tuning in to this episode.